He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. That's like a whole twist and turns of different types of sayings right there. So I love he starts off with, in the beginning was the Word. So he establishes the beginning is the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He like emphasizes that the Word was not just there in the beginning, but the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then he goes back and says again, he was with God in the beginning. So there's no guessing as far as who Christ was and who the Word was and if the Word was even present at the beginning or if he wasn't. See, John dealt with a lot of different opposing views in the church during the time that he was alive and ministering. There was a specific type of thought called Gnosticism. And a lot of times you saw within Gnosticism and even other types of thinking, they believed that Jesus wasn't necessarily present with God at the beginning. There were some people who thought that Jesus was a created being and that God was first established, and then all the way throughout you see at the point of Mary being with child, that's when Jesus was created. And so John is combating this from the very start. He's like, listen, Jesus was there from the very beginning, and he is God. He was with God. He was God. Amazing. So through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In verse 9, we're going to skip a couple verses here. Verse 9, he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The very people who were made by God, by the establishing words that came forth from God's mouth, and especially the same people who studied the word of God, were the same people who did not recognize him whenever he was here on earth. That's something to consider and to think about. These were people who studied their entire lives to try to recognize the Messiah when he came. They studied their entire lives to serve the Lord and to have a type of way of being able to lead the entire nation into the ways of God. But yet whenever the Word became flesh, they weren't able to truly recognize him, because they were caught up in systems and they were caught up in their own ability to know things. A lot of times, pride is a terrible thing. So here we go. So let's keep going. So in verse 11, he says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. I'm going to read that again. Verse 12. Yet to all who did not receive him, to those who believed in his name. Sorry, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 through 18 says this, and we'll end here with John. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we are able to read through it, that we're able to discuss it, we're able to study it, we're able to be encouraged by it, we're able to have it in our own language that we speak. Thank you, Father, for smart people who are able to translate it and able to give us a great representation of what your word is communicating. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together like this and to listen to different people, be able to encourage one another. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you that we don't have to do this on our own, that we don't have to be left out to try to figure things out on our own. But thank you, Lord, that we could be encouraged and uplifted by one another. And thank you that you are still living and active and moving inside of us today, and that you have not stopped doing that, and you have not abandoned us, but you are right here with us. Emmanuel, you are God. You are Emmanuel. You are with us. So we love you, we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So I know this past weekend we had the men and women's meetings. I had fully intended to go to the men's meeting, but Lyric has been on this time. How many guys have kids or have had kids that were very small? Okay, the majority of us. So Lyrica now is in this point to where she was taking these, they're like power naps, like the most powerful power naps that a child can take, but they're at like 9 p.m. So she'll end up going to sleep, and we're like, all right, cool, she's down, she's out for the count, it's going to be amazing. And then around 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, she'll just pop right up and be like, who's ready to party? Let's go. So we've been ending up in this interesting place, and especially if I'm still up and I'm doing stuff, whether if I'm working on homework or working online or doing something like that, if I'm not in the room whenever she wakes up and Danielle's in there, she knows, oh, Dad's not in here, but he was at the house whenever I went to sleep. So that must mean that Dad is still up doing stuff. So I'm ready to go party. Whatever Dad's doing, I'm ready to go do it too. Let's go. And so she'll pop up and she'll hop off the bed and she'll take off running down and try to find me. So then she's up for hours and she's up 2-3 o'clock in the morning, who knows. And it's just whatever she feels like doing, I guess. So Friday night, that ended up happening. We stayed up, I don't know, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And finally went to bed. Danielle actually fell asleep on the couch and she stayed there. She didn't get up until the morning. And I finally like scooped Lyrica up and I put her back in the bed. And we both fell asleep, and we were out. I slept through, like, I think I had two alarms set, slept through both of them. Lyrica slept through both of them. We slept really hard. We were out. So we've been in this type of ebb and flowing of her sleeping patterns. And we've also been noticing that she's not quite as settled, especially, like I said, if both of us are in the house, she's not settled if we're both not in the place where she's resting. She's just not in a place where she's very comfortable, and she wants to be with both of us, and she wants to be involved with whatever's going on. So she ends up being kind of restless. And last night we had a buddy over, and we were watching a documentary, and I had my coffee over here, I had my computer on my lap, and Lyrica was kind of restless. She was moving around, and she was kind of whining and jogging around the living room. And we're like, babe, what are you doing? You're just crazy right now. What's up? And she finally hops up on the couch. Danielle's on this side, and I'm on this side. And she lays down. You can tell she's tired. She's like rubbing her eyes, and she's moving around. But she's like flopping around like a little fish, like trying to get comfortable. Have you guys ever done that? Like you want to get comfy, but there's just no spot where you're at that just seems to satisfy that need for your body to be in that one spot to settle you. So she's flopping around and going everywhere, and I'm like getting kicked and getting moved and stuff, and it's like kicking my computer. I'm like, Lyrica, oh my gosh, girl, what's up? Like, find the spot. What's going on? So finally, she's moving around. I just kind of scooped her up, and I put her head right here in my arm, and I pulled her close to me. And then she had a little pacifier in her mouth, and as soon as I pulled her in close, and I just sat there and I looked at her. Our face is probably about this far apart. And as soon as I did that, I just gazed into her eyes, and she slowly started falling asleep. It was like that was the place that she needed to be, that she felt the most comfortable, the most warmth, the most peace, is where she was wrapped up in that spot, and she fell right to sleep. Within like 10 seconds, she was out. And she stayed asleep for quite some time. And it took, after a while, we put her in bed, she got back up, and once both of us got to the bedroom, she went right to sleep again. This, a lot of times, is the restlessness we feel when we are not intimate with the Word. We can be near the Father. We can be near the church. You can be near other people, but you're not quite settled and not focused on the face of God. And I love that John really goes through and he gives us a beautiful description. And I love in verse 12, that's why I stopped at 12 and 13 and went back to it. Yet all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Paul tells us, and I believe it's Romans 6. Pastor Ken, you can correct me if it is. It's either 6 or 8. I always flip those two around. But tells us that we are not slaves to sin any longer. We are not orphans. 6:18. There you go, Sean, for the win. We are not slaves. We're not orphans. But we are children of God. We're grafted and we are adopted by the Heavenly Father as his children. And as his children, we have the right to be able to crawl up and get intimate and into a place that I wasn't going to scoop my buddy Matt up into my arms and pull him close and look at him in the face. That had been really weird, really awkward for me to do that. First off, he is a grown man. And so having a grown man scooped up in my lap while I'm sitting there while we watch a documentary is so awkward. That's a very odd sight to see and just stare at him until he goes to sleep and then be like, okay, now you can go home. Like that's, no, we don't do that. But my child, my daughter, absolutely, we will have that happen. If that's what's going to take and for her to get comfortable and to be restful, yes, she has the right to be right there in that spot. And he says in verse 17, the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We've studied a couple times, and I've spoken a few times regarding Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6, where Jesus says that I'm not here to abolish the law. That's not my purpose. That's not my responsibility, is to get rid of the entirety of the law. That's not why I'm here. I've come to fulfill the law. And in fulfilling the law, he offers us a level of grace that we have not been able to have before, a level of intimacy that have seemed to be foreign to us because we've had to go to a temple. I say we, as in the Jews back in the day. They had to traverse to a temple, and they had to be able to go and offer sacrifices. And we see very few people who are actually intimate with the Lord in a way to where they were outside of the specific ritualistic practices, to where they had conversations with God. Otherwise, the majority of the Israelites, according to the writings that we had, a lot of them would just go and they would practice the traditions that they had. But you would see kings, you would see priests, you would see prophets, you would see all these people who had the intimacy with the Lord, and they were used by God. It's not because they held the title of a priest, or they held the title of a prophet, or they held the title of the king that they had that. You see, David had intimacy with the Lord way before he was anointed to be king. So that's not something that's, you have to have a positional title in order to have this type of intimacy. You have the intimacy, and then the Lord makes a way for you in the place that he's called you. And I love, this is where in King David's writing, we see Psalm 119. He says this, and we're going to read from verses 1 through 16, and he says this: happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him in their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. And this is great. If anybody is going to be speaking to any kind of youth, then this is a phenomenal scripture to go through right here. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways, and I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. In this point in time, all they had was the Torah. They had the writings of Moses. They had the writings of David that were coming through, and some of these other pieces. But they all followed the Torah. They all went through and they all studied this. So David here, he's speaking specifically. He's like, hey, happy are those whose way is blameless. How is it that you could be happy and walk blameless? And he constantly goes through, as you look through each and every one of those verses, it constantly goes back to let me know your word. Let me know your commands. Let me know your precepts. Let me know these things that you've declared and decreed for me to do. Let me know your ways. And when you do this, he starts it with this. He says, I will be happy and I will be content and I will be satisfied. Satisfied will my heart be whenever I follow your ways, because your way is blameless. Your way is right. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God and the Word was with God. You see, the way that David was trying to communicate to us was not, hey, you have to know all these traditions for the standpoint of just doing the right things all the time. That should be a secondary consequence of the intimacy that we have with the Lord. Amen. Following the ways of God is much easier whenever you have intimacy with the Lord, because you realize how much you actually need to follow his ways. Amen. Not just because there's a guy with a whip standing in heaven just ready to discipline you when you do something terrible. But in this time of seasonal greetings and happy Thanksgiving we just had, and then we have a great Christmas time that's going to come around. Some of us will be off work for a little while, and others will just be able to get around with family or friends or gather with other loved ones and be able to celebrate great things, give gifts and all these things. But the greatest gift, whenever we look at what Christ did, was not just that a baby was born. It's that the Savior came to the world. And this was the beginning of the salvation that we could have. This was the beginning of being able to see God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John tells us no one has seen God except for the Son, and the Son came down, and now we can behold him. Wow. And then Christ lived the life that was documented to where now we can follow after his ways. We can read his word, we can study what he said, and we can actually have an intimacy that people did not have access to as a whole, as a body. I mean, the privilege that we have to be able to walk through our days and to speak with the Lord, to hear his voice, and to be able to reach out to others in the midst of their struggles and their heartache, and be able to deliver something that they need, which is hope, the hope for the world, which is Christ. That's something that many people did not have access to. Imagine the amazing miracles. How many guys would love to go back and see the miracles of like the things with Moses? That would be crazy, right? I mean, you're looking back going, dude, he went up the mountain, there was lightning, there was thunder, people were freaking out. I mean, the golden calf, and then all those people died, and then the sons of Korah, the whole earth split open and swallowed those guys up when they were in rebellion. These were crazy things that were happening. I would love to see that, but I would only imagine that these people would love to be on our end right now, to be able to have intimacy with the Lord. We tend to diminish the opportunities we have right now because it doesn't look as grand as we think it does from back in those days. But in reality, they had to trudge and they had to wander through the wilderness. They had to wander in confusion. Their level of frustration was not met with the type of satisfaction that we can have right now, because we can have true intimacy with the Lord. But here's the thing. David delivers an amazing word of telling us that if we want to encounter this, we have to know the word. We cannot move passively through our walk with Christ and say that we can get by without knowing the scripture and have a life that is happy and blameless. That's very difficult. And this is where we find that many Christians are in crossroads right now. I mean, good grief, the amount of people, I've talked about this before, but the amount of people who are deconstructing, quote unquote, because they don't have intimacy with the Lord is alarming. It's alarming. But it's a lot of it is because they are not rooted and grounded within their own foundational belief. They are married to the institution of the church, not the Savior. They became converts, not disciples. They merely prayed a prayer and attend a church service. And that's all fine and well, and that's good. And you know, you get a good feeling that you said a salvation prayer. You get a good feeling that you have access to that. But man, you don't have the kind of intimacy with God that you need. Because what you end up doing is that you'll have an idea of who God is, and you'll have an idea of maybe what he's saying to you. But in reality, if you don't know scripture, then you don't know if that is actually his voice or just something that you're telling yourself because you want to feel better about something. We need to be able to know the voice of God. And the way that we do that is through reading the word. Now, some of us could be like, man, yeah, I hate reading with a passion. I understand. Before my master's degree, I hated reading with a passion too. But things that could be helpful is that now we have the audio Bible. You can listen to the word being read. That's amazing. Yeah, that's an amazing opportunity. Just little bits here and there. We don't have to read for hours and hours a day in order to feel like we're going to be effective. You don't have to study all the commentaries and have all that stuff taken care of. You don't have to go to a seminary and get a degree from a seminary. You don't have to do any of that stuff in order to actually have intimacy with God. God is gracious and he's patient and he knows the situation that you're in. And he knows the context that you're in as well. Some of you don't have time throughout the day to dedicate hours and hours of studying the word. I completely get that. So here's the deal. You have a few moments that you can dedicate, though. A few moments you can dedicate before you wake up, or before you like have to get up and do stuff. You can dedicate just a few moments before you go to sleep. Maybe even on a lunch break, you can dedicate just a few moments to just open up the word and to read through what he has to say. Knowing the word is going to be the thing that draws you closer and nearer to God. Sometimes situations and circumstances will end up having to draw you closer to him because you realize your need for him in the midst of trial or in the midst of turmoil. You're like, something's got to give. Something's got to happen. I need to lean on God because I know that I've heard someone said that he's going to be the one that can get me through it, so I guess I need to figure this out. But here's the deal. If we're able and we're diligent to seek after the Lord with all of our heart, and to be excited about getting to know him more, then when those trials come, it's going to be a little easier for you to lean on him and to trust his words. Because I don't know about you, if you don't know someone very well, if you don't have a good relationship with someone, and you're going through like a really tough situation or a really tough spot, then it's a little hard to trust someone that you don't know very well with something so near and so dear to you, something so precious or so important. It's a little more difficult to do that. Because there's distance between your knowing and their knowing. I don't just walk up to random kids in stores and say, hey, you want to go to sleep? Come into my arms. That's really weird, and I don't recommend it, okay? You will get taken away in handcuffs, all right? That is not the way you do that. But my daughter, she knows me. She knows that daddy is here for her. She knows that this is a safe place. She knows that this is a place where she can have comfort. She knows this is a place that she can have rest. So that's an easy place for her to fit up in real quick. I mean, as soon as I scoop her up, she's ready. Put her down, bam, she's out. Because she knows that she could find rest. In her restlessness, she knows that there's comfort. And it could put her right to sleep. When we can trust the Lord because we are intimate with him, it makes every single thing that we go through much more manageable. It makes the discomforts that we encounter much more comfortable. I've been taking this class called Intercession. It's my last class for my master's. And we're going over the life of a man named Reese Howells. He was one of the ones that encountered massive revival and mighty moves of God in Wales. And man, just reading through his life has been very convicting. As you see, if you've ever read anything about him, you will end up figuring out that every step of the way within the intimacy that he had with the Lord required of him new things. And he experienced what he calls many deaths of self in the midst of it. There was a point in time, and I'm going to paraphrase this. He said that to the person who is an outside and outer looker, they would think that he was in bondage because of the things that he would give up, that he was caught up in religiosity. But in reality, what he was doing is he was acting in full surrender to the Lord. The things that everyone around him, the things that they allowed themselves to be a part of, he didn't say, he was like, they were not bad things. Like, he was saying that he was called to a life of fasting, and he would fast and pray often. To someone else who is not being called to that or who is asked about that, it looks bonkers to say, I'm hungry, but I'm not going to eat. It looks crazy to somebody to do that. Or to say, I'm going to, in the midst, because he lived with a lot of his family members and he would still be at his house when he was doing through this fasting. So his mom would make just a fat meal, just a really awesome meal. And they were coal miners. So they would have to pack it down so they could eat and have enough energy to go throughout the entire day of work. And he only dedicated himself to a bowl of soup, bread, and juice, I believe it was, throughout the day. Those are the only, and he would only have two, he'd have two meals a day. He'd have one in the morning before he left, and he'd have one at night when he got back home. Those are the only two times he ate, and they were very small portions. To his family, his mom was very concerned. She's like, look, son, you have got to go to work, and I'm cooking all this food. I need you to eat. And he said, this is what the Lord is requiring of me, so no. And there were many times he went through things like this. He said he dedicated his finances completely to God, to where he didn't spend a dime unless the Lord told him to. He didn't spend any money. Not one. He said the Lord gave him a specific portion of his paycheck. I think it was like 10% of his paycheck is what he could spend on himself for food and other stuff. And the rest of the 90% was to whatever it was that God wanted him to do with that. He ended up starting a mission out of some of those things, and he was able to give monies to different people. As soon as he told God, there was a point in time where look, I'm giving you all my finances. Whatever it is that we need to do, we're going to do. There was a guy, he was a town drunk. He was known for his alcoholism and just the crazy nature that he had. He was interceding for this guy. He ended up coming to church, and he ended up getting saved, radically saved. And then Reese was very burdened for this man. During one day, and he felt like his salvation was in the balance. That there was a point in his walk that he was either going to go back into bondage of alcoholism, or he was going to pursue his relationship with the Lord even further. And so Reese sat there and he goes, "Okay, I'm going to pray for this man." And he dedicated time and he prayed for him. And that very day that he started praying, he heard a knock on his door at night, and it was this man. He opens the door and he goes, "Jack," he says, "I need to talk to you." He said, I'm in really, really tough spot. He was like, "I've got 3 years worth of bills that I have not paid, and these guys are coming back to me, and I don't know if I can make it. I'm about to just go right back into drinking and just give everything up." He's like, "I need something." And Reese told God, "I give you all my finances and whatever I need to do so this person is saved and stays on the right path, I will do it." And so he said, "You know what, I think I can come up with half of it. And then with the other half, I'll see. I'm sure there's somebody that can make a donation that we have that's a part of our congregation." He goes, "Okay, awesome." So as soon as he starts walking up the stairs, he heard the voice of the Lord say, "I thought you said you would give anything and everything for this man to be able to be saved and to have the stuff that he needs." And he said, "Yes." He said, "You're going to pay every single dime of what he owes. You're not going to seek anybody else." And that was just near about depleting his savings account, to where he gave like all his money to this guy. But he did so, and in doing that, he was able to go to that man's house, see that was paid off. His wife was an unbeliever. And as soon as he walked in the house and her husband told her of what Reese had done, she broke down and said, "Truly there is a God." And she got saved, and their whole entire household got saved. But Reese had to let go of that monetary security that he felt, because he said that I dedicate everything to the Lord, and if this is what the Lord is requiring of me. Now, that there needs to be wisdom. Reese also said, "I only do things if the Lord says, not just every person that comes to me. I'm going to just give all my money and all my resources away just because every single person that comes needs something." He said, "I only do this if the Lord asks me to." He said, there's also a difference between a prayer warrior and an intercessor. A prayer warrior can actually pray, and they don't have to see something, they don't have to see the end result of it. They can just pray for a little while, feel good that they prayed real hard, and that was great. But an intercessor is someone who cannot let the thing go until they see breakthrough, or they feel the breakthrough from heaven come through and give them permission not to pray anymore. They are bound to that thing that they're supposed to be praying for, because that's what the Lord has told them to do, and they don't stop until it's completed. So he said, "I do not start praying or I do not act on something unless the Lord leads me to. Otherwise, I'm spending a lot of energy and a lot of time on something that the Lord has not required me to, and he could be asking me to do something else." But you see, this only comes through intimacy with the Lord. Reese spent quite a bit of time going through reading the Word. He would spend his free time going out and praying and meditating on what the Word said. He wasn't just a man who was called and just heard the voice of the Lord all the time, and he didn't have to do anything else to earn it. This man went through time and time and time and time and time and time and time again of meditating on the Word and praying. He spent time with his intimacy with God. And in that, he was able to enter into levels of clarity, of hearing God's voice, and then seeing many things come to pass. He saw people get healed of crazy ailments. He saw people delivered of demonic depression, of demonic oppression and possession. All the Eshens, they got delivered from it. They got delivered from all the Eshens. So he was able to see this not because he signed a paper or got ordained in something or did this. Those are great things to do and great things to accomplish. I mean, we have a ministry school here that I teach in. And we license and ordain people, and that's amazing. But if all we do is just teach and we never practice and we never actually do these things, then it's going to be very hard for people to actually understand that God loves them and he's still alive and active today. It's very hard for us at times to even encounter that, because it could be very easy to be intellectualized into a different belief system. If all it is just intellectualism, you'll just end up bending and waxing and waning from whoever's the smartest person in the room at that time. There are plenty more people who are smarter than I am, but I know that I have the confidence in my relationship with the Lord that even if they're smarter than me and they can try to explain away God, that I have had experience and encounters with the Lord that they cannot explain away for me. And now I've been doing more and more studies and research that's solidifying my belief in the Lord to where even if I am around someone who is very intellectual, I'm not pulled away so easily from what my belief is. And this is the issue we start to see with people whenever they are not solid in the Word. We see that God is made known in our intimacy. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I love that John said, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made known. He has made him known to us. That's huge. That's huge. That God has been made known by Christ coming to the earth. Christ being born, Emmanuel, God being with us. There's a reason why those wise men traveled so far to come and see a baby. They could have waited about 30 years and seen miraculous things, right? They could have waited 30 years and been able to come around and see people being raised from the dead, lepers being healed. They could have, you know, joined the party of disciples and walked around, but they came to see this baby that was born because it was the Word made flesh to dwell among us. So in this Christmas season, as we're coming around to this point to where everybody's so excited about this time of the year. I mean, this is they have songs, bless you. They have songs about this. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? It's so exciting. I love it. I mean, the Christmas music starts going, and it's the appropriate time to play Christmas music. And so it's not like, hey, it's March, and you're playing Christmas music. Stop it. This is like, hey, it's December. You can play Christmas music, and everybody loves it, and it's wonderful. Everybody's excited to get some time off, and everybody's excited to hang out and eat food and all this stuff. And then January rolls by, and you're like, what are Valentine's Day next? Come on, man. Like, Christmas is where it's at. Whenever we get into that place to where we're only dependent on that holiday swing for our excitement, then we've kind of lost track on what the gift of Christ actually meant for us. It starts to move back into that, I'm just going to church on Sundays because I think I'm supposed to. And then this is when I feel the best, because I can feel the presence of the Lord is in my life because I'm around other people that have encountered God, and that's great too. But in reality, what you're doing is that you are just close enough, like Lyrica was close enough to me to know that she was wanting to go to sleep but wasn't quite comfortable enough to go to sleep. You're just comfortable enough to be on the couch, sitting by God, sitting around the presence of the Lord. You get to have the aroma of it or get the feeling of it, and you feel amazing, and it's wonderful or whatever. And then once you leave, it's like, I'm still not satisfied. I'm not rested. I don't have that solidification of, yes, the presence of God is with me, and I know that I'm speaking with the Lord on a daily basis. We need to get to the point to where our intimacy with the Lord is the thing that drives us, not the Sunday morning or the Wednesday night service. And that makes it to where when we come and gather together over here, you have so much more freedom to express your gratitude and love for the Lord, because you're coming from a place of gratitude. You're not waiting to get into a place that brings you a little bit of joy. You live from joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a guy named David Noah Friedman. He says this. He says that Psalm 119, in reference to the law, has become for the psalmist much more than laws that Israel should live by. He said it has become a personal way to God. He says that this is a type of wisdom that we should live by. And then the instruction of God is not presented as a strict set of rules and regulations, but a way of life or an approach of being that brings one closer to God. As David repeatedly implores to God to cause him to live because of his instruction, because of God's instruction. And instruction is the direction or the order that we've been given. He says this for his decrees. It's an official order offered by an authoritative person. The precepts given by God, which is a general rule intended to regulate our behavior or thought process. So the scripture that we go through, these are things that it's not just like, hey, these are good points that you should probably look at and maybe live by. These are words that he has given to us to change our thought patterns, to change our behaviors, and to craft us into becoming people that we were always meant to be. It pulls us away from sin, extracts sin from us. It extracts the necessities and the need to fulfill the desires of the flesh. And it causes us to live a life that is in full abundance. And he goes through a couple other things. He goes through the ordinance, which is to be put in order. Words is a way to establish our communication. The promise is the declaration or the assurance that one will do a particular thing or that particular thing will happen. The statutes of God, a written law passed by a legislative body. And the commandment is a divine rule, especially in one that is found in like the Ten Commandments, something as strict as the Ten Commandments. This is what the scriptures were offering. It wasn't just a recommended rules for life. 10 keys to live your life in a better way. It's not a blog. This is something that is designated for us to live by, specifically to live by as followers of Jesus. This is not a recommendation. These are commands that are set before us. The greatest of all is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. As you do that, you're starting to fulfill more and more the entirety of the law. Each and every time you meet someone who you have to love that is just a little bit different from the previous one that you encountered, you might have to run into a different aspect of the law. But by showing them love, grace, humility, by offering all these things, you'll start to find that it's easier to keep in the center than it is to be pulled back and forth to where you're either doing extremely well and it's all amazing, or you're doing horrible in that point in time. But you can stay straight and true because you know that the word is something that is living, active. It's true. It's not faulty. It's not missing any pieces. It's not so outdated that we can't apply it to today. It is so true. And in living in that place, we'll be able to go back to the words of David and say, yes, happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart. And in the very last verse in 16, he says, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Happy are those. Blessed are those. Prosperous are those who follow in the ways of the Lord. Take on my burden. Take on my yoke. Because his is easy. His is light. In him you will find rest. In the arms of the Father, gazing at his face, you'll be able to have the rest that you need in every situation. Your restlessness will subside. Your fear, your anxiety will start to subside. Your anger, your hostility will start to subside as you rely on the arms of the Father and you stay close, gazing at his face. You can go back and listen to some of the previous messages. I mean, pretty much all of my messages recently has all been, it's all wrapped around intimacy with the Lord, because it's so important for us to have that intimacy. If we do not have intimacy with the Lord, then we are only in a religion that is full of tradition. But if you have intimacy with the Lord, then you're going to know what he asks of you. You're going to know what the word says. And as you live your life, that will start to pop up in your head. I've been challenged more recently by the Lord to memorize more scripture. I haven't done a good job of doing that the past few years. And I want to get back to practicing to memorize scripture. Just because I think that's going to be something that's going to elevate my thought process. And it's gonna tighten up the ship that I'm riding on. So if I can invite you guys to do something as well around this holiday season, besides just get gifts and give gifts, I want you to get intimate with the Lord. I want you to get into the Word. Read it for yourself. Gather questions. Questions are great. That means that there's probably an answer at the end of that somewhere. But you have to have questions in order to get some answers. Today I had to change out the battery on the charger. I've had the charger since about 2015. Praise the Lord, we got it paid off. It's wonderful. It's our only vehicle right now. So I'm borrowing my dad's truck to get here. And I had to change the battery on it because it just went out on us yesterday. We were at the park, dead. Dang it. Okay, so we went through and we looked up stuff. If you know anything about me, you know that I am not a car guy. A mechanic is not in my set skills that I have been gifted with by the Lord. It would have to be divine intervention that I would know all the things that I need to know about a vehicle, because I know nothing. Like, I could change a tire, kind of. But, no, I'm just kidding. I've had to do that plenty of times now. I've had lots of tire issues in my life. But yeah, vehicles are just not my strong suit. So I had to go and buy a new battery last night, and I went to go change it this morning. And if you're familiar enough with a vehicle, usually you pop the lid, and the battery's there underneath the hood, right? Not the case with my car. My car, it's in the trunk. Yes. So I would not have been able to known that if I didn't take out my phone, look up the directions on how to change a battery in a charger, because that sucker, sure enough, wasn't in the front. So, I mean, you can look all you want, but you're not going to find it. It's not going to be there. So I had to look up the instructions, look around there. I had to say, okay, so it's in the back. I had to lift up the lid. I had to pull out the bottom hatch piece. And I go, I'm starting to pull things out. And then I had to have the right tool. Oh, okay, so I have to go in there and try to find it. I try to get a socket wrench, and I'm moving around. It has about this much space in order for me to get that socket wrench in there to try to take out this piece. And I'm like, dang, I can't even get that. I can't even get that socket wrench in there, because guess what? My spare tire is all laid out in that space that I need to get. So now I need to get the spare tire out. I need to pull that out and move it over to the side. So now it's like, okay, I can't use a socket wrench because it still has this much space in between it. So it's going to take me 6 years to take out this nut so that I can actually do that. So finally I get the tool, and I finally start using a wrench, and I get it out. I put the battery on the side. I grab the new one. I put the new one in, get it all installed, get it ready, put it down. Done. Took me a little bit longer than I wanted to, because location issue was something else. But let me tell you, if I didn't have instructions, if I didn't have a way to go through and look up different stuff, I would still have a new battery sitting in my garage and the old battery sitting in the trunk with no idea that battery was sitting in that trunk. I had to have instructions, especially because I'm very unfamiliar with a vehicle. That's new territory for me that I'm learning more. We're doing a lot of home renovations right now. I know zero about home renovations. I can lay floor, and Nick and I did that last week. Lay the floor, yes, it's in. I'm not putting in electric because I'm not an electrician, and I don't recommend people who don't know electricity to try to use their own knowledge to do that stuff. So here's the deal. I need to be able to have the right instruction. I need to be able to have the right people around me so that we can get things accomplished, because guess what? There are people who are electricians. There are people who are plumbers. There are people who have the kind of knowledge they need to so that you can get things where they have to go. We have to use the same logic in our own personal lives when it comes to intimacy with the Lord. We have to use that. We cannot just say, I'm going to go through life because I prayed a prayer and say I'm intimate with the Lord or that I'm saved and just expect that everything is going to work out after that. We have to be able to read through the instructions. Even those of us who have been doing this for a while, we still have to go back and read through it. We have to meditate. We have to go back through it. Not because the Lord changes, because he stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But guess what? Our situations, our circumstances, we're going to run into new stuff. We're going to run into new things. As you grow and develop, there's going to be new stages of life that you're going to end up seeing something brand new that you haven't seen before. Maybe you've heard about it before with someone else, but you've never experienced it firsthand. So we have to be able to go back and read through the instructions. And we know the mechanic. He's our dad. Right? He's the father. We are children, not because we have been born into a royal family, not because we have been chosen by this pool group of people who have, you know, casted lots and you've just been chosen. No, the Heavenly Father has grafted you in and adopted you into his family. And now you have the right as a son and as a daughter to have that intimacy with the Lord. The thing that we offer him is our life. And in offering him our life and submitting ourselves completely to him, which is uncomfortable, and it's going to cause some things to happen. It's going to cause some things to unearth inside of us that we didn't realize that were there. It's all a part of the process of being intimate with the Lord, because he'll bring things up to remove them so that we can continue on in purity. Happy are those who walk in the ways of the Lord. I delight myself in the Lord. Further on in Psalm 119, he says that I have taken your word as a lamp unto my path. As a lamp on my feet and a light into my path. And I will hide your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. James tells us, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil and he will flee. Submission to God first leads to resisting the devil so that he can flee. Can't flip that around and say, I'm going to resist the devil and then submit to God. You will lose every time, every single time, because you'll be deceived thinking that you won. And then he'll hit you with a side sucker punch. And then you're back down again, wondering what happened because you thought you won. Submit yourselves to God. And then in that, because you're submitting to God, you're already resisting the devil. It's a 2-for-1 package. It's great. So I want to invite anybody who is feeling, Sean, if you want to just jump up on the keys real quick, we'll end with this. I want to invite anybody who you feel like I have not quite been where I needed to be. On that standpoint, when it comes down to my intimacy with the Lord, I have not been delighted in my walk with Christ recently. I have not been happy in the midst of that. I wouldn't describe myself as happy and walking blameless in the sight of the Lord. I would like to invite you, if you would like prayer, I would love to pray for you. And then also, if you are dealing with sickness in your body today, I would love to pray for you as well. So if you are in either of those two categories, I would invite for you to come down. And I would love for Pastor Ken and I to be able to pray with you guys. And Sister Virginia, if you want to come up too, you're welcome to come and pray. So if you're dealing with sickness, or if you just want to be more in right standing with the Lord, then I invite you to come up here. And I'm going to pray as people are walking. I'm going to pray just a generalized prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your provision. Thank you that you are wonderful, that you're our counselor, wonderful counselor. You're a mighty God. You're the everlasting Father. You're the Prince of Peace, that you're the Alpha, the Omega. You're the one that provides us with the things that we need, and that you are gracious to meet us where we're at, and that you have great things in store for us. So, Father, I thank you for this holiday season. I thank you that we can have joy in this time, that we can be excited, and it's not a crime to be excited for things that are occurring in our lives right now and for what you're doing. But, Father, I pray that we will be able to have joy everlasting and something that is continual, not just based on a holiday season, but joy that is set before us and that we will continue to pursue as we're intimate with you, Father. We love you, we praise you, thank you, and glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. So we're going to go ahead and pray for some people. If you feel like you need to go, then feel free to do that. You're welcome to. We love you. We thank you for being here. Hope to see you Wednesday night. Well, for you guys that are coming here, come here on Wednesday night. If you go over to Rogers, then I'll see you there. Either way, it's totally fine. But we're going to take some time to pray. You can feel free to stay and just be in this atmosphere as Sean's going to set some. Oh, you're muted? Oh, that's great too. Oh, okay, cool. So he's going to play a little bit of music as well. And we're going to start to pray for some people.